Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Tracy Keller, and she is the executive director of the soon-to-be-open Chef and Children's Cafe. Hi, Tracy. How are you?
Good morning, it's Cynthia. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, You are doing this, you know, on your own. With you're not part of any organization. You're just doing this. So tell Focus on Albany listeners a little bit about why you started this and what you hope to achieve.
Okay, thank you. I have lived in Albany, in Albany County, for my entire life, and I love Albany, and I have a particular care and love for the south end of Albany. My fondest memories are visiting my great-grandmother, Evelyn, in the south end. She lived in Ezra Prentice, Albany public housing, and I just remember always feeling surrounded by warmth and love and care. You know, in the community, that's something that just remained with me. So there's that, and then I also, in 2000, I opened a nonprofit called New Day Art, and I serve children residing in the South End with art projects, theater, dance, painting, and I just really enjoyed that very much, and we had built a really nice community around the arts. And 2 years ago, when I turned 50, I sort of had hit a milestone and decided I wanted to think about where I see myself on my next portion of my journey. And I sat down with my family, and we talked about what was important to us. And my husband is very dedicated to hunger and food insecurity, and my compassion and dedication to children and families, and particularly the South End, sort of came together to create the South End Children's Cafe.
So you haven't opened yet. When will you be opening?
We will open on November 2nd, 2015. We've been working with an awesome committee since the new year. I have a committee of about 21 people who have worked really hard to get to this point where we're about to open. And we'll be open Monday through Friday after school through 6 p.m. for children residing in the South End. We'll have an after-school program with homework help and enrichment workshops like dance and theater and science and cooking. And then at 5 o'clock, everybody will sit down and have dinner together.
That sounds great. Now, have you figured out exactly, like, what you'll be serving for dinner for the children?
Yes, we actually have a menu committee, and on the committee I have a nutritionist who is interning with me from the Russell Sage College, and she's been wonderful. And what we do is we sit down and we plan out the month's menu, so we have the menu planned out for November, and our nutritionist intern is paying attention to making sure that we're meeting all of the nutrition goals that young children need. And then we take into consideration some recipes that will make some food that kids might not love, like whole wheat pasta, for example, and, you know, to make them not only healthy but delicious. So we'll have each week we'll have a pasta night, and we'll be serving whole wheat pasta. We'll have a chicken night with different chicken dishes, and we'll have some rice dishes, and really just taking a look at what we can serve that is in season, because we will be using as much as we can fresh produce. And I just received a wonderful donation yesterday of turnips and beets and potatoes and onions. So when we get donations like that, we'll take a look at what we have and what we can create out of the fresh produce that we receive.
Now, how many children will you be serving?
I think that right now we're probably looking at about 30 to 40 kids a night. We're going to prepare food for more because, you know, it's a new venture, so we don't exactly know how this is going to take off. So we also are including family members. So if a child is enrolled in the cafe and their mom and dad wants to come and eat with them, they're more than welcome. And so we'll prepare probably for about 75 every night.
Now, from what you've observed, it seems like you've been, you know, you have roots in the South End. Mm-hmm. From what you have observed, how profound are the nutritional needs of the children in the area that you will be opening the cafe?
Well, there's been certainly a number of studies throughout the United States that show that children and families residing in inner city communities living at or below the poverty level are more at risk for food-related diseases and illnesses like diabetes, obesity, heart disease. And so, you know, the studies have shown that if you're eating food that's full of preservatives, that's not fresh produce, that has high sodium, that will impact health and wellness, you know, either currently or in the future. And so because the South End is a community that has some poverty-related issues, there certainly will be children and families here that are in need of food. We are really focusing on paying attention to food insecurity, which is something that's happening across the nation and, of course, elsewhere. But food insecurity is not only being impacted, you know, by living at or below the poverty level, but also the rising costs of milk, fresh produce, meat, other proteins is impacting food insecurity across the nation. So I think that,
now,
you know, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, so, you know, we definitely will be meeting some families who are food insecure and are struggling with, you know, putting healthy food on the table. And that coupled with, you know, some stories that I've heard, you know, one young man that's on our advisory committee talks about his mom, you know, getting a check in the beginning of the month and then trying to figure out how to stretch the money that she has for food throughout the month for herself and for her three children. And that's really difficult, particularly if you can't just hop in your car and go to the store and spend money on whatever you want to spend on. All of us are faced with financial constraints and budgeting challenges, and so food insecurity is real for many, many of us.
So, you know, children in school, they get breakfast and lunch. So, is this... Okay, if children get breakfast and lunch in school, would you say a lot of these children, when they go home, there's not enough to eat for dinner?
The data would suggest that is true, as well as I've met with some school leaders and also some community leaders prior to working on the South End Children's Cafe just to ensure that this is something that was needed in the community. And what I've heard mostly from school leaders is that they do see kids who are hungry, that when they identify kids who are hungry and then help them throughout the day with a healthy snack, maybe a granola bar or yogurt, you know, that they do better. But they do know that there are kids that go home and might not have anything to eat. Their main food is the food that they receive at school. One school nurse, a local school nurse, told me that she keeps food in her office because she has kids come in that say they didn't eat dinner the night before and they're hungry. So I definitely, you know, believe that there are people who, and children and adults who are children in school who are eating breakfast and lunch and then going home and not having, you know, maybe not having a healthy meal or having a meal that's not, you know, just really isn't a of filling enough meal to make a dinner.
Now, has there been any places in other parts of the state or the country that is doing the exact same thing that you're doing? Or will this be a product community to copy?
Well, I know that there are, you know, particularly they're called children's cafes that are popping up throughout the United States, and they're mostly located within schools or after school programs, and they're focusing on offering dinner to kids so that they go home and they have had eaten dinner. And the other thing I think is important to recognize is that sometimes it's not the, you know, maybe lack of food, but some parents have to work two jobs. Some family members that I've met have children at home with special needs that really take, you know, some extra attention. And, you know, so taking the stress off of a family in terms of offering a dinner, you know, is also helpful, you know, for the mental wellness and health of the whole family. But anyway, back to your question about cafes cropping up. Yes, there are what's called children's cafes, and there certainly are places in Albany that serve children and families dinner as well as the cafe. I think the difference for us is that we are really setting up more of a restaurant setting, and we borrowed from John Bon Jovi, who has what's called the JBJ Soul Kitchen in New Jersey, and they're serving people free of charge in a restaurant-type setting where folks come in and they order off of a menu and they sit and eat with maybe someone who can pay and someone who cannot pay that day. So they come together and they you know, really just break bread together and build community over a healthy meal. And so I was very impressed with John Bon Jovi's and his wife Dorothea's project, and really have modeled the South End Children's Cafe after their model. So, sure, this is a little bit different, but it's also, you know, the bottom line is feeding children. And I guess it's just a different, the way we're doing it is a little bit different.
Now, when in families who are, you know, struggling, you're just, you know, serving the children, but there's grown-ups in the community that don't get the proper nutrition. And living all the way down in the South End, they might not have a car. And the nearest supermarket is on Delaware Avenue. Have you encountered a lot of adults who have difficulty getting proper nutrition?
Well, I'm really glad that you brought that up. The South End and some other areas in Albany County are considered food deserts, which means that there's not a grocery store that sells fresh produce and meat within a mile of somebody's home. So here in the South End, for example, there's two options. You can go to the Price Chopper on Delaware Avenue, or you can go to Walmart, which is in Glenmont. Those are the closest, but they're still not close enough, but they're the closest grocery markets that sell fresh produce and meat. So if I am a mom and I have a few kids and I don't have a car, my options are walk, and if I walk, I have to walk over a mile to get to the grocery store up quite a big hill and with my kids in tow. And then once I do my grocery shopping, I have to come home and walk home with my children and with my groceries. And that can be really challenging. I also may take a bus, but it would take me two buses to get there, and you have to pay each time you hop on the bus. So you have to pay really at that point for four bus rides to go to and fro. And then the other option is to take a taxi, which is also quite expensive. So it really is not as easy to access fresh food and fresh produce and meat at a reasonable price, which is what you find at a grocery store, versus living in a community that is a food desert, and your options are some of the smaller stores, which may not offer fresh produce or meat. And if they do, they may be more expensive than at the grocery store. So you're sort of forced to pay for healthy food at a higher price. And if I'm on a limited budget, I might choose to buy something that's less expensive that's going to feed more people than to buy something that's, you know, a head of broccoli, for example, that is just one part of my meal. That just might not be a good fiscal choice for me. So it's really important for us to, I think, number one, educate everybody about, you know, nutrition. I'm learning as well. I have two children with food allergies. I've had to learn a lot about good nutrition and you know, what's healthy and what's not healthy. And I'm still learning about all this. And so I think that the ongoing education about food is really important, along with the importance of exercise. And then also to figure out how in our communities, whether they're inner city or rural communities, how we can address the fact that there really isn't access to healthy, organic food at a reasonable price for people.
Now, I know there's the farmer's market in the Empire State Plaza during the summer. They're here outside on Wednesdays and Fridays, and then during the cold months, they're indoors on Wednesday. Do the farmer's market, does the farmer's market in the plaza and in the concourse, do they help in solving nutritional problems for the people in the South End?
Yes, there are many agencies in the South End that have set up and supported farmers markets, community gardens, the veggie mobile coming and trying to get be creative in terms of getting fresh produce and farmers markets to the community. And I really applaud them for doing that. That's so important. I'm honestly not sure what happens in the winter months. That's something that I will certainly look into. But it's, you know, the farmers market might come once a week. I might not have money on the day that the farmer's market is here, so it would be really great if there was an alternative or a grocery store that was accessible and easy, you know, and reasonably priced, so that if on Saturday I wanted to do my shopping, I could do my shopping on Saturday. But definitely there have been leaders in the South End community and other communities that have worked so hard to get farmer's markets here, fresh fruit, fresh produce, meats, and companies like the Veggie Mobile, nonprofits like the Veggie Mobile, to come here and offer that alternative.
Now, the Honest Way Food Co-op, you know, recently opened a new store, and it's on Waterville Avenue, and it's not really on a bus line. Have you had any contact with the food co-op at all, and has it been successful?
You know, I'm really excited to talk to anybody at the food co-op, and I have some people that are volunteering with me that are members of the food co-op or volunteers at the food co-op that are going to, you know, so that we can figure out if there's a way that we can partner or that we can benefit from the great food and the great ideas that the food co-op has. So while that hasn't happened yet, I'm really excited about it. And I love the food co-op.
And the other thing is, you know, since it's kind of far, and like I said, it's not on the bus line, has there been any talk, people in the South End, about creating a brand new buyer's club that could turn into a co-op at a certain point?
I'm not sure about that answer. If I wouldn't be surprised if there has not been talk, because the community here is really active and interested in doing whatever it takes to, you know, to help folks that are residing in the South End. If there is such a movement, I would certainly love to be a part of it. And if there isn't such a movement, I would love to be a part of orchestrating it.
Okay. Now, I'm sure that as you're starting up, you know, this is at your initiative that you're doing all this. So you're going to need a lot of help and a lot of volunteers and a lot of donations. I mean, it's going to be nonstop. So if anybody would like to volunteer to help you in any capacity or donate furniture, like you said, or other utensils and food, of course, or money, how would they do so?
Thank you for asking.
Specifically, what would be your greatest needs?
Okay, thank you for asking that question. So we are located at 33 Rensselaer Street in Albany, and the zip code is 12202. We're located inside of Reigning Life Church. We're so grateful to Reigning Life for allowing us to use both their kitchen and the space within their building so that we can open up the cafe. So this partnership with Reigning Life Church and also their nonprofit entity, which is called Club Zoe, is just, it's so exciting for me to be partnering with another agency that's been doing work in the South End for so many years. We have a volunteer orientation that's scheduled for this evening, and we will have more volunteer orientations moving forward. So if anybody's interested in volunteering, the volunteers that we need are really folks in the kitchen that want to prepare the meal, folks that want to do tutoring, if somebody wants to teach a dance class or a hula hoop class or a yoga class or a creative writing class, we're looking for folks to bring their talent to the cafe to share with the children. We will have a monthly birthday party for the kids. So if anyone's interested in ever purchasing a new birthday gift for a child, that's a way to help. We certainly take monetary donations, which we will then use to purchase food. All of the folks that help here are volunteers, so any funds that we get in at this time will be used to purchase the fresh produce and the meat that we need. We do have a food drive list, which is found on our website. Our website is www.southendchildrenscafe.com. So if anybody wants to host a food drive in their office or with their family, we're always looking for healthy food to stock our shelves. Currently, our greatest need is to find 40 matching chairs. So that's something that has posed a challenge. And if that's my biggest challenge, I think we're in good shape. So, but we really mostly need food. We don't need furniture as much as we need food and volunteers.
Thank you, Tracy. And in the closing minutes, do you have anything else that I forgot to mention that would be important?
I'd like to mention that what I'm so excited about for the South End Children's Cafe is really continuing to build on this awesome community in the South End, which is a community of people that care about children and families. So what I loved about John Bon Jovi's program is that people cook together and then they sat together and ate together and talked. And so I think that's what I'm most excited about, is a child coming in and being paired up with a volunteer, and maybe their task is they're going to wash the vegetables together. And then maybe they'll read a book together, and then dinner time comes along and they'll sit at the table and talk together. That's what I'm most excited about is meeting the children and families and all of us sitting together and having a nice dinner and just enjoying getting to know each other over a meal. So I think that, if anybody asks me the best part of this, it will be building community over sharing a meal.
Tracy, thank you so much. And, as you progress with this and, you have different aspects of it that you don't foresee right now, I would love to have you come back and focus on Albany to talk about it. You have been listening to Tracy Keller. Killer. How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Keillor. It's not pronounced the way it's spelled, right? Keillor.
Keillor. And she's the director of the soon-to-be-opened Chef and Children's Cafe. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can download Focus on Albany on your smartphone. Listen anywhere, anytime. Tracy, thank you so much. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck. And
thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Cynthia. You too. And thank you, everyone, for listening.